You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Entrepreneurs. Jeremy Brown and his wife Kath left a vibrant life in East London and successful design careers to move to the countryside in Devon. The initial plan was to take some time off with their newborn baby, then find consultancy work for other companies. But things have turned out rather differently. Instead, they've launched their own design brand, Feldspar, based out of their rustic 400-year-old farmhouse. Today, their products, from tableware to lambswool blankets, are stocked in some of the best retailers in the country, including the Victoria and Albert Museum shop and Fortnum & Mason. Today, Jeremy is here to talk us through why he and his wife left the city behind them and decided to launch their own venture.
We'd always imagined that we'd set something up together, but we thought we'd do it in 10 years' time when, you know, we'd bought a house, the kids were growing up a bit more, you know, we had more time, we didn't have a puppy at home, things like that. It did kind of happen quite suddenly when we actually decided to. Just before we decided to set up the business, I was working for the UN. Kath was working for an architecture practice here in London. We were both just working a lot, getting burnt out. I was traveling 90% of the time, and we were looking to buy a house in East London. Just for fun, I typed in Devon in Zoopla rather than, you know, East London, and then saw that for the same money as a 1-2-bed apartment, we could get a rambling farmhouse with like a rundown tennis court and things like that. I went back home, and Kath at this stage was heavily pregnant with our first child. And I went back and I said, why don't we just quit our jobs, leave London and move to the middle of nowhere? Strangely, she was like, yep, all right. Within a month, we left our jobs and then we started looking for somewhere. And then a couple months later, we actually moved down to Devon. And the idea was to take a few months off, just relax, enjoy being new parents, grow some veg, you know, just do like a semi-retirement and then regroup. During the time that we took off, we bought a pottery wheel and a kiln. We didn't have any phone reception, a phone line, any internet, any TV. So we had lots of time on our hands. So we did do the veg and we did lots of walking on the moor with Milo. But we also got a book on pottery. We asked the person that we bought the pottery wheel off to give us a little how-to kind of thing. And then we just started making stuff. The first Christmas we were down there, we had both of our families coming over to stay because we had this, it was very dilapidated, but it was a big 5-bedroom house. So we had lots of space, but we were living in a 1-bedroom apartment in London, so we didn't have any furniture whatsoever. So we made all the plates and the bowls and the cups. I used to work as a carpenter on a yacht as well a long time ago. So I went to the workshop where that was being built and built the stools and the kitchen table and stuff. And then we just had a big family Christmas with everything that we'd made, very cliched. And then after about 6 months, we were like, okay, well, we better get on it now. And the plan was for me to consult directly with some fashion houses. For the UN, I was helping fashion houses become more ethical and sustainable in their supply chain. So I thought I'd just do that directly with the fashion houses. And then Kath was going to work with a practice down there. But then we realized that we'd kind of be doing what we were doing in London, but just with more difficulty because we're in the middle of nowhere. So when Kath realised she'd have to kind of leave the house by 7 a.m. and then get back at 7 p.m. and not see Milo the whole day, she just broke down in tears. So we kind of thought, oh, well, that's not going to be much fun. We've just been like making all this stuff. So we thought, why don't we start our own business? Even before I worked for the UN, I grew up traveling with my parents. So like, I've always kind of looked outward and enjoy the traveling side of things. And when we set up Feldspar, it wasn't about kind of just making stuff in England kind of thing. It was about promoting craftsmanship and like whatever we're working on, we want to work with the best people and the best materials. And like we set it up because we wanted a business that was done exactly how we felt a business should be run. We don't shout about it, but we want to do everything ethically and sustainably. When we decide who we want to work with, the first question is, are they nice people? Are we going to enjoy it kind of thing? So we didn't start because we wanted to make lots of money and sell on a business. It's a lifestyle choice. With the product, it has to be stuff that we're really proud of. You know, like we do the Fine Bin China in Stoke-on-Trent because, you know, that is the place in the world that you go to for Fine Bin China. We've been discussing, say, a glassware range. there are a few places in the UK that do it and a few independent designers and stuff that are amazing. But if we want to do the production, why not go to Bohemia, where there's a massive history there? Or in Sweden, they do amazing crystal. So, you know, we're more likely to follow where you can get the best rather than just to keep it in the UK. But then it will always be a question of sustainability as well, and like the air miles and things like that. But then we like to think that if it travels a little bit further, but we're not mass production kind of thing, and we're hoping that when people buy some feldspar, you know, it's not disposable, they'll keep it, they'll pass it down and everything. So the sustainability comes from that in a way, you know, like a lot of our pieces are inspired by antique shops or our grandparents' houses. And so Cass Grand's got a Wedgwood coffee cup, and I think it's like 200 years old maybe, and it's way finer than our espresso cup, and it's lasted that long. So I think, you know, like the idea that something really fragile can last generations if, you know, make it right and then people really treasure it. Probably our like main strength is daydreaming. Like, we live in the middle of nowhere, we do lots of walking, got a dog, so, you know, spend a lot of time walking through fields. So it is just daydreaming and just thinking what we could do next. And then, yeah, like, Kath won't let me go into an antique shop on my own, because I will just like leave with as much as I can like carry. Basically, the way we decide on what stuff we're going to do next is just, it's either we need it for the house. So we needed some vases, and we had a friend who was an amazing florist, so we worked together on those vases to make what we felt was a perfect set of vases. The soaps, Milo has really delicate, sensitive skin, so even like the, you know, ultra natural baby stuff, he was still coming up in a rash, so we just made the soaps. And then we realised it was quite fun and easy, so we kind of thought, let's do it for feldspar. Wouldn't it be fun too? That's how most things start. So we're doing parlour games, and I don't know if anyone will buy them, to be honest, but that's never really come into the equation. Like, someone asked us that, we did a talk at Plymouth Uni the other day, and they said, what kind of research do you do to find out whether the market is interested in your product? And it doesn't even come into the equation, because we kind of figure, you know, over 7.6 billion people on the planet, maybe a couple of those will will like what we're doing, and, you know, that's enough. Yeah, so we're doing some parlor games, which are inspired by games, like one of them is Bagatelle, but it's out of lots of unusual materials. So, like, you know, we're doing steam bent ash and walnut, like mixed with jesmonite and brass detailing. And then, so a lot of it will be like really low tech. I'll be casting stuff out of jesmonite in, you know, the cow shed, basically, the stables. But then we'll do the kind of CNCing on it, or some laser engraving and stuff. So we'll mix the two. How did we get from blankets to that? But it doesn't really matter to us, you know, like, we want to do bird feeders, but then also maybe chocolate bars. To be honest, when we first moved down, Kath went a bit stir crazy, because she comes from the London area kind of thing. So she hadn't really been without, you know, internet or phones, you know, and she's much more sociable than I am. So we were kind of looking around, you know, let's move somewhere else, and Cape Town was a possibility, Paris was a possibility, Bristol. we were looking at everything. But then Kath started a baby group with Milo and started meeting people, and there were lots of young people that had, you know, left cities or all grown up there but starting their own businesses and stuff. Like, we weren't surrounded just by farmers or people we couldn't relate to. There were lots of young people, although everyone within walking distance were octogenarians, but they were lovely too. It's been pretty idyllic, to be honest, without kind of sounding too smug about it. It's been everything that we've wanted. We've moved down, we've had all the kind of time we need, the space we need. It's, you know, like, we imagined we'd move away, then set up home in Devon, and then as soon as we could afford it, buy a little place in London, and then so then we could have best of both. But now, coming up to London, it's quite a, you know, culture shock for us. Like, I do look forward to getting back to my little shed.
Thanks very much to Jeremy Brown, co-founder of Feldspar, for coming in. This show was produced by Gaia Lutz and edited by Kieran Matthew Banerjee. I'm Matt Alagaya. Thanks very much for listening. Goodbye.